Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss. Tell Us Something awakens imagination, empowers storytellers, and connects the Missoula community through the transformative power of personal storytelling. It is a celebration of each other, our stories, and how we move through the world together. All of the stories at Tell Us Something are true. Stories last for 10 minutes and are told from memory. Everyone is welcome to tell a story. The community comes together for a night of true personal stories, shared live, focused on a theme. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This episode of the Tell Us Something podcast was recorded in front of a live audience on September 20th, 2016 at the Wilma in Missoula, Montana, as part of the Montana Book Festival. 11 storytellers shared their story based on the theme, Fork in the Road. This edition of the Tell Us Something podcast comes to us from Alex and Cox and is titled, Fork in the Road. Thanks for listening.
Hello, Montana. It's good to be back. Well, it was 1970, and we were driving along the road from Mexico City out to the pyramids, when up ahead we saw a girl waving at us and holding up a clay statue. And so Adrian pulled his VW bug over to the side of the road and got out, and just moments later he got back in and handed the statue to me. Is it authentic? He just shrugged. Well, then why did you buy it? He just smiled at me and turned the key in the car, and as he started to pull away, Patty and I turned and looked, and we saw that child, still covered with dust from the road, couldn't have been more than 10 years old, running to a shack that was set way back off the road and waving the money in her hand. And Patty leaned forward from the back seat and patted Adrian on the shoulder, and she said, "You're our Mexican mensch." And he truly was. Patty and I had just finished our junior year in high school, where we had met Renee, an exchange student. And she had invited us to come to visit in Mexico, but when we got there, she was too busy to be our tour guide. And so Adrian had volunteered to take her place, her 20-year-old brother. But he said, "You're gonna have to do your homework," which meant that he would give us pamphlets the night before. He would take us the next day to the museum, the cathedral, the National Palace, the ballet. We loved it. Then he said, "We're going on a road trip. We're going to see 2,000-year-old pyramids, and then we're going to stay with a family that I know, family home, in Acapulco." The only word I heard in that whole sentence was Acapulco. That morning, July, in Mexico, out among the pyramids, it was already so hot, I was feeling woozy. So we walked around for a while till we decided, well, we'll climb the smallest of the big pyramids. It was the most decayed, but it was the shortest climb. But when I got up there, oh, there was this delicious breeze. And so I stood at the summit with my toes right at the edge, and there was a mountain in the distance that just seemed to call to me. So I put out my arms, like I used to do when I was a kid and I'd pretend to fly. And I imagined I was flying to that summit, to that mountain in the distance. And the ground was passing quickly beneath me as I was going faster and higher. And in my mind's eye, I turned and looked to the side, and there where my arms should have been was this massive wing, vast in length, and completely covered with feathers. And then I heard someone shout my name, and I was pulled backwards by my shirt, and I stumbled into Adrian, and he said, "Whoa there, you were leaning out so far, you were about to become a squash tourist." And I must have looked disoriented, because he and Patty walked me down to the bottom of the pyramid, and I said, "Well, what is this place?" And he said, "Well, this is the pyramid of Quetzalcoatl." And I said, "What does that mean?" And he said, "Ah, he was the feathered serpent, the lord of death and rebirth." And immediately I flashed on that giant wing covered with feathers, and it totally freaked me out. So I just crawled into the back of the Volkswagen, and I kept my mouth shut and just held onto that loop, you know, that they had on the side, as he went from one hairpin turn to the next, all the way through the hill country down to the coast. When we got to Acapulco, it was sunset, and this family home was a villa. It was perched on top of a rock cliff, and there were stone steps that wound down to the sea. inside the compound, there was an entire orchard of tropical fruit trees that we could pick our breakfast from. And our only chaperone was a sweet-faced woman named Maria, who was always barefoot. And her son, Jaime, was the groundskeeper, but he was the same age as Adrian. So the four of us played the entire time. We went to the highlight game, we saw the cliff divers, we ate shaved ice with mango syrup, and we went swimming every day. One day, a tour boat came drifting near our dock, and it sputtered something in staccato Spanish that cracked up all my friends sitting on the dock. "What?" I called from where I'm floating in the inner tube. And Jaime said, "They just said that this is the summer home of Jackie Onassis and that all of us are visiting Olympic swimmers." I smiled and waved. Well, the next day, the guys took us windsurfing. And so I had on long sleeves and long pants, and I burned my feet. It looked like I was wearing red socks, and then they began to swell, and I started to cry because that was our only Saturday night to go dancing in the Acapulco discos like we planned. And Adrian said, "It's all right. The best show will be right here tonight, you'll see." So that night after dinner, he walked us out onto the open-air stone balcony, and he pointed out how there was a bioluminescence that edged each wave with a neon light as it lapped onto the shore. Off in the distance, there was a curtain of lightning that laced down to the sea. But above us, the sky was clear and there was a cacophony of stars. And then Adrian picked up one of the conch shells that was laying along the balcony wall, and he showed me how there was a hole drilled in the top, and then he blew what sounded like a foghorn, long and deep, and resonated across the bay. And then moments later, from all sides, conch shells trumpeted in response. It was magical. Well, I stayed up way late that night talking to Adrian, and I finally told him about my experience on top of the pyramid. I said, "Don't you think it's strange that I was standing up there, imagining that I'm like some giant dragon-sized creature covered with feathers and I'm standing on the feathered serpent's pyramid?" Adrian said, "Well, maybe you read something in the booklet the night before and you forgot about it." I said, "Adrian, I was so excited about going to Acapulco, I read nothing about the pyramids." He said, "Well, maybe it was heat stroke." "I don't know, Allison, it just seems like a coincidence to me. You know, I'm a confirmed atheist." I said, "Atheist? Adrian, how can you not believe in God when you have all this?" And I gestured to the sea and the sky and the luminous waves. He said, "Well, I love nature, but that doesn't convince me there's a deity behind it." And then 16-year-old me said, "There is a God, and there is life after death," and on and on and on. Well, the nuns back at Catholic school would have been shocked because I usually argued with them in religion class. But Adrian didn't argue. He just listened, he stated what he believed, and we talked on late into the night. Well, not long after that, it was time to fly home. But I was changed. My world had expanded exponentially. And so Adrian, we stayed in touch through letters. Remember letters? Yeah. He'd write me multiple page letters and he'd send me books like Bertrand Russell's Why I'm Not a Christian. I didn't read it. And then I'd save art cards for him and I'd send him with books like The Little Prince, and I'd underline, "It is only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye." And then he went off to study submarine engineering in Norway. Whew. And I went off to college. And the letters became more scarce as our pathways diverged. I remember I stayed up really late the night before the call came. And so that morning I was dreaming. Dreaming that I was in bed, in my bedroom, except that everything was white. And I realized it was because the room was filled with light. And out of that light came floating Adrian. And he hovered in the air right next to my head where I was sitting up in my bed. And I said, Adrian, what are you doing here? And he said, I just came to tell you, you were right. And then he floated back into the light, and I was calling after him, but I started to hear this ringing, this incessant ringing. And then I realized I was asleep. And so I struggled to wake up and stumbled into the kitchen and answered the phone, and it was my mother. She said that Renee had just called from Mexico and that Adrian had died of a heart attack. He was only 24 years old and just about to get his engineering degree. But it turned out he had a weak heart that he never talked about. Well, I was stunned. So I hung up the phone after I thanked my mom. Now, looking back at all this now from the other side of the bell curve of life, I really am much less certain about what it is I believe in now, because I find that I can collect all kinds of proofs for pro and con, but it doesn't matter because they're all overrun by my overwhelming desire of what it is I want to believe. And so I can't tell you what any of this means about the nature of reality or immortality, but I can tell you this, that whenever I think about this story, my heart leads, and it leaps right over those big questions and goes first and foremost to this, that what I want to believe is that when I came this time to that great fork in the road that separates me from the people I love, that just this once, Adrian stopped by to say goodbye. That's my reality, and I'm sticking to it.
Thanks, Allison. After living in Polson, Montana for 7 years before moving on, Allison Cox still considers Montana a place she calls home. Allison has been telling stories to anyone who will listen since she could talk. She even started calling herself a storyteller back in 1982 and has been traveling and sharing her tales ever since. She combined her years in public health with her love of story to edit and contribute to two books, The Healing Heart for Families, Storytelling to Encourage Caring and Healthy Families, and The Healing Heart for Communities, Storytelling for Strong and Healthy Communities. She was a founder of the Healing Story Alliance and edits their online journal. Allison lives with her four-legged and two-legged family on Vashon Island in Washington State, surrounded by gardens, wood, and water. Thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcasts, and most especially to the storytellers John Engen, Jameson Gordon, Neil McMahon, Harry Nyes, Pat Williams, David Allen Cates, Shobha Rao, Michael Marsalek, Becca Kelly, Tommy Peterson, and Allison Cox. Remember, your story matters. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Check out the website to find out how you can tell your own story and to learn more. TellUsSomething.org. Tell Us Something is proud to be fiscally sponsored by Missoula Community Foundation, a 501c3 organization. Missoula Community Foundation has been providing leadership to Missoula nonprofits and inspiring long-term philanthropy in Missoula since 2007. For the good of Missoula, forever. MissoulaCommunityFoundation.org. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Top Hat Lounge, bringing great music to Missoula for over 60 years, the Top Hat hosts a variety of Montana-based artists and has become a destination for national touring musicians. In addition to great music, the Top Hat hosts comedy shows, film, performance art, and storytelling. The Top Hat also offers a unique dining experience centered on local, house-made ingredients. Dining made different. View their menu and event schedule at tophatlounge.com. The Wilma, a locally owned and independently operated venue, The Wilma has anchored the Missoula cultural and entertainment scene for almost 100 years. Constructed in 1921 as a vaudeville house, The Wilma was utilized as a movie house for the majority of its history. In the 1980s, The Wilma began to once again host live entertainment. Now, it is a state-of-the-art live music facility within a spectacular historic building. TheWilma.com. CabinetParts.com, the number one source for cabinet hardware since 1997. Anyone searching for the best kitchen cabinet hardware at a great price needs to go to CabinetParts.com. CabinetParts.com, in business since 1997, combines knowledgeable hardware specialists with the best online shopping experience nationwide. With fast and easy ordering, free hinge matching service, and same-day shipping, CabinetParts.com is the direct source for all of your cabinet hardware needs. Missoula Broadcasting Company, which includes the Trail 103.3, Missoula's quality rock, and part of our unique Western Montana community, featuring local DJs who love Missoula and know their music. Jack FM, playing what they want. U 104.5 FM, finally, a radio station for you. UFM keeps every listener happy and upbeat with a fun mix of top 40 favorites and an upbeat alt-pop gems. And ESPN 102.9, KKVU HD4, focusing on city, state, and regional sports, giving exposure and insight to teams and athletes in and around Western Montana. Martin McCain, Woodworks and Design. If you're looking for custom, modern, and mid-century cabinetry and furniture to fit your home, check out Martin's work on Instagram. He is at Martin_McCain_Woodworks over there, and MartinMcCain79 on Pinterest. You can always friend up with him on Facebook because if he's doing work for you, it's pretty likely you'll become friends. Facebook.com/MartinMcCainWoodworks. Find. Find is a vintage store located in Missoula, Montana that sells unique finds, antiques, eclectic furniture, and home decor. Currently in transition, Find will reopen its doors at some undetermined date. Gecko Designs. Gecko Designs is a great little design shop specializing in responsive, results-driven web design and are proud supporters of the arts, hosting First Friday events every month and making sure that the artists receive the full sale amount when they successfully sell a piece of art. GeckoDesigns.com. The bookstore at the University of Montana. MontanaBookstore.com. Fact and Fiction. FactandFictionBooks.com. Thanks to Cash for Junkers, who provided the music for the podcast. Find them at CashForJunkersMusic.com.